Alien Matters, news and comments from a white racialist viewpoint. This is James Hawthorne, and in the studio, in the Whoopsler studio with me, is the one and only Lee Gardner.
How you doing, James?
Welcome. Is it welcome back to the program?
Sure. It's whatever you want.
It's great to have you back on Alien Matters. If you look around the studio here, you'll see I've made a few changes while you've been away. I've painted the studio red, white, and black.
My favorite colors.
Yeah, our favorite colors.
As That's good mighty white of you.
As a good National Socialist that we are, we need to feel comfortable at the Wolf's Lair studio. So, a lot's been happening since you've been away.
Oh, yeah.
Neocons, the neocon Jews, unfortunately, are still in control of your government.
Yep, and still in control of your government, apparently.
Yes, and I have a great first story, which I'll dive into right now if you want me to.
Sure.
This goes back to a previous Area Matters program where we discussed the, and the word here is, it could be discussed, but we did discuss James Cameron, the new Conservative Party leader in Great Britain.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
If you can cast your mind back, and everyone who can get the Area Matter archive at VNN archives and the Area Matters section. We have our own section now on VNN. Do you know that?
Yeah, that's great. Love those guys at VNN.
Yeah, they're great. And I'd just like to thank them for allowing us the space to put our programs up there for everyone to download and podcast. Apparently, our Area Matters program is the second most popular download on VNN, with Goify being the most favorite. How about that?
That's great. Who'd have thought?
Jane, getting back to the horrible character James Cameron, as we mentioned in the previous Area Matters, he is so sickly pro-Israel, it even made me sick.
And that's hard to do, isn't it?
That really is hard to do, but yeah, he does make me want to reach out for the chuck-up bucket, because he is so pro-Israel, so pro-Jewish, that this neatly takes me into my first story and the first segment of Area Matters. And this concerns, believe it or not, the Jews behind the Conservative Party. And this was put out by the Jewish Chronicle of Great Britain. Jewish Chronicle is the leading Jewish newspaper in the United Kingdom. And this becomes under the, this was a special report by the Jewish Congress called, sorry, Chronicle, called Team Cameron's Big Jewish Backers. I'm not going to read the whole thing because we will put this up in our mentionables. And I'll put this up as a link on the VNN Area Matters section. But just a quick quote from this article. The biggest Jewish donor to the party, while Mr. Cameron has been leader, is gaming magnate Lord Steinberg, who has donated £530,000. Plus, he gave a loan of £250,000. Hedge fund owner Stanley Fink has gave $103,000. And this report goes on. Leading Jewish figures gave his team, as opposed to the party. So apparently, Cameron's has his own team, which is getting funded by the Jews, as well as the full Conservative Party. Additional donations of more than £60,000. And you can just read his article. You can see all these people. Michael Green, Carlton TV boss, Michael Green, £10,000. Sam Wolfson. It just goes on and on and on. Biocom chair. Now, this is a name to really get your tongue around. Podju Zabalutwitz, £15,000 plus £25,000 to the party. So look, Cameron has his own team, and the Jews are giving money to his team, plus they're also giving money to the Conservative Party. And then it just goes back to that program on Area Matters where we mentioned how sickly pro-Israel he is. Well, here we have it. in the full light of day, from the Jewish Chronicle in Great Britain, Jews backing not only Cameron's team, but also backing the Conservative Party. What's your views on that?
Yeah. So they're basically, they're spilling the beans, aren't they? I mean, they're saying,
the Jews,
you know, hey,
yeah. The Jews are spilling their beans on the Jews. I don't get them.
But who reads it? You know, the only ones who read that are the Jews, right? Who reads that goddamn paper? The Goyim don't read it.
Well, National Socialists,
right?
Do.
Well, we do, yeah, and white nationalists do, yeah, because we are interested in the Jewish question, if you want to call it that. We are interested in that. Like, so you got this guy, Lord Steinberg, right? Mm-hmm. Is that his name?
How
obviously Jewish can you get with the name Steinberg?
The key players in this article, Andrew Feldman, Michael Green, Lord Steinberg, Sam Wolfson, Grant Schnapps. It just goes on and on and on and on. All these kikes, you know.
Yeah.
Funding Britain's second largest political party.
Yeah, and all those amounts that you gave, we got to do the conversion, right? What is a pound sterling? Is what, like $2 almost?
No, it's about 1.7 now to the dollar.
Yeah, so it's approaching, you know, twice that. So those numbers you gave, you know, of 10,000, that's almost double in American dollars.
We were quite shocked. Well, I was quite shocked how sickly pro-Jewish Cameron was. And now, thanks to the Jewish Chronicle, is the reason why his team's getting funded by the Jews. Now, what his team consists of, we'll have to do some more research on this. But, you know, it basically said in this article that Cameron's team's getting donations from the Jews, but also the full Conservative Party. I have never known that before.
Oh, yeah?
Jews. Yeah, Jews openly admitting that they're giving special donations to the leader of a party, to his his quote-unquote team. What the hell's his team?
Yeah, well, you know, in America, that's been the case for years. People thought, well, you know, the Jews who really started the, you know, communist, so-called liberal democratic movement and funded the Democrat Party so much, but they also funded the Republican Party. So it doesn't matter where you go, what country you're in, they play all sides, right? They want to corrupt everybody. And if that doesn't show corruption right there, you know, in any government, that they can play these games because a lot of them have money. They can play these games where if they want something, they say, I want you to do this, and if you don't do this or vote this way or have this opinion on this subject, we're not going to give you this money. Right? Yep. So what do those fucking corrupt politicians do? They say, yeah, okay, we want the money. So they'll sell out their people. I mean, basically, they're whores, they're prostitutes. You know, they sell out their own people for the sake of money. I mean, they're greedy asshole capitalists. I mean, it's that bad. And, you know, they have no principles. They have no honor. And of course they don't believe in race. Of course they don't believe in their own people. We have no leaders that believe in our own people anymore.
Yep.
They're not there. Where are they? Who are they? You know, we can't name
leaders
one.
The leaders of both our countries have basically abdicated to Jewish Zionist interests.
That's right.
This article is, again, to me, with Cameron, again, is quite sickening. I mean, media guru Michael Green, who runs Carlton TV, huge conglomerate TV organization in Great Britain, he's giving Cameron money. And you have the Labour Party, who will be being funded by, you know, Jews. You have the Liberal Democratic Party being funded by Jews. People have got to wake up and understand what the hell's going on here.
Yeah, I mean, we're the only ones that get that. Other people will say, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, white nationalists, national socialists, racist, whatever you want to call us. We're the only ones who know that. Well, of course, Muslims do. A lot of Arabs do, right? They know that too. But Americans don't. They don't get it, and neither do the British public. And will this particular article, you know, like I said, it's the spilling the beans article again, of them admitting, you know, that they're funding these guys. Will that be known by the white masses? Will they ever learn that and get that and react to it properly? Or not even that, just the white leadership. The people that hear that, they're corrupt. I mean, the people that are white leaders or white politicians in charge already, they're corrupt. They don't care. If anything, they'll go, well, okay, wait, maybe there's a way I can get money from Lord Steinberg, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they'll start asking themselves.
How, I mean, it's just like the Jewish neocons in the United States and also the American Israeli Public Affairs Committee, who are putting pressure on congressmen and senators, which have basically captured the United States government. So the United States government can't have a fair and balanced policy on Israel, because the Jews who hold the strings of power in the United States will not allow it. Now we have, in Great Britain, we have Labour Party being supported by Jews, big money Jews, Liberal Democratic Party, big powerful Jews, Conservative Party now out in the open, big powerful Jews. How can these three parties in Great Britain have a succinct and independent policy on Israel? And the answer is they can't, because they've been funded by these Jews. And as we know, Jews have loyalty to the state of Israel first.
Right. They can't avoid it. The politicians in this country, just like in England now, again, as this article shows, are stuck between a rock and a hard place. Okay, all this time they've been funded. They were able to, you know, raise enough money to put on these election campaigns. And so they got into office, and now they owe these Jews something, so they do all this pro-Israel stuff. But guess what? Can they ever go back? Well, if they go back, if they start to be anti-Israel or anti-Jewish, then they're going to be blamed and called. What are they going to be called? Anti-Semites, right? Yeah, and so they're stuck. Everybody knows that if you were called an anti-Semite, you know, a Nazi or a hater or a racist or whatever, you stand no chance in political office or holding your political office in this day and age, right?
That would be called not only stuck behind, stuck behind a rock and a hard place. That would be called stuck between a rock and a kike place, probably. I mean, people have to understand, the people who have just come across our program need to understand, how can a political party that's in power have an independent policy with Israel when that party is being funded by Jews who hold loyalty to the state of Israel? They can't. So, you know, reasons why we go back to the great King Edward, who, under pressure from the English people, expelled these filthy parasites during the Great Expulsion. Well, we need to have another Great Expulsion, I'm afraid.
Oh, yeah.
Where they go? Well, you know, that's up to them. They have I'm of the opinion. I have the opinion, and I know you disagree with this opinion, but I'm of the opinion the state of Israel's there. Let's take it back to the 67 borders, and let's expel these filthy parasites back to Israel. Every last one of them.
Yeah. Well, let's clarify where I'm in disagreement. I'm only in disagreement on where they should be expelled to, right? I'm not in disagreement that they should be expelled at all. They need to be fucking expelled. They do not need to be in our countries, corrupting us, killing us, you know, destroying us, hurting us, making everybody in the world hate us.
Yeah, corrupting our politicians.
Yeah, they do not need to be in our countries at all. Whether or not they go back to Israel, I could give a fuck less. You know, if they get to go to Antarctica, you know, that'd be fine with me. But we have to get them out. We definitely have to get them out. Now, you know, one thing people don't know is that our people, just like they don't know anything about the Jewish problem, is they don't know or understand the way the National Socialist Government, the Third Reich, was run. So there's these books, all these crazy books and shit out there about Hitler was financed, you know. Who financed Hitler? Oh, the evil internationalist bankers, right, and all this shit. Well, we know internationalist bankers are Jews. We know that. But if you look at the facts and people that were there at the time, people that wrote books that were new Hitler, and the same thing with Rockwell, right, Commander Rockwell in this country, did he take money? Yes, he did. But when you look at what he said, he said, look, you got to understand, this is no strings attached, right? So it didn't matter if the people gave the money and they could not give the money to him and expect him to do anything at all that they wanted him to do. He said, look, if you give me this money, it is no strings attached, which means I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. And they'd say, okay. Or they say, well, no, you know, then I don't want to give it to you because you're not going to back my little pet project, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. That's a government that's incorruptible, right? When you have people that are able, you know, have the honor and principles to say that and actually stand by that kind of stuff, which, of course, again, we don't have that now. You know, no one can point to anybody who's an honorable leader, you know, in our governments, in our white governments anywhere.
But just to end this story, I mean, this story, I'm going to copy and paste this story because after this hits the air at Area Manners and how popular we are, this will probably be taken down. So I'm going to copy and paste it. But it says here in this article that the Jews gave donations to this Team Cameron during the leadership battle for the Conservative Party. Big funds were given to David Cameron by the Jews during the leadership battle of the Conservative Party. How about that?
No surprise.
Jews knew Davy Boy was the one to put the shekels on. Good grief.
Well, whatever they fucking go for, they, you know, that's probably the way it's going to end up. Because all their other kike friends look behind it and say, oh, you know, no matter what positions they're in, are they in the media? They say, oh, well, our big pal over here, Lord Steinberg and Feldman, all these guys, Fink and all these guys are going for that guy. So he's the candidate of choice. Let's put some glorious, you know, interviews with him in the newspapers, you know, shit like that. Yeah. It's all what's good for Jews. Fuck the rest of everybody else in the country.
Cameron is the goy choice for the Jews, and that's why he won. And now they've opened their, is it called a shekel purse that Jews have? A shekel purse. I'm going to name it that. And they've got this horrible individual. So, Great Britain, get ready. If you thought Tony Blair was bad, wait till David Cameron comes along. So, let's have your first story for this program.
Yeah, actually, this story is related to Great Britain as well. It is called A Revolt of the Generals. And it's a Time article put out. Mm-hmm. And what happened is there was this British Army general who is, of course, not happy with the war in Iraq, the way things are going. And who can blame them? You know, it's a fucking disaster over there with American troops and, you know, Iraqi civilians and all people getting bombed all the time. And just like we said in previous programs, the precursor to this and the example that this follows is not so much the Vietnam War as it is Palestine. Because what Americans are doing there is the same as what the Israelis do in Palestine. It's a fucking occupation, and people don't want them there. So that's why all this suicide bombing goes on and everything else. If you're an American or Iraqi general over there, you can't help but see lies that they told about how the Iraqis would throw flowers and have parades for the Americans coming in. That was not true, and it's still not true. So anyway, I'll just read a couple of lines from this article. It says, the straight-talking chief of the British Army, General Richard Dennett, gave interviews to the London Daily Mail and the BBC that had 10 Downing Street scrambling. And right, 10 Downing Street is where the Prime Minister lives. Is that right?
Yeah, correct.
And here's a quote from this general. He says, it's an absolute fact that in some parts of the country, he's talking about Iraq, the fact that we are there causes people to attack us. And in that sense, our presence exacerbates violence. And, you know, it goes on, you know, there's several opinions there, and there's also talk about, you know, the American generals who really didn't come out as bluntly as this guy has. But you know what? That's just an indication of our generals being more wimps. It's our generals who have a hell of a lot more troops over there that really need to be the ones speaking out on this. Now, maybe this guy, maybe his example, this general Richard Dennett, well, you know, inspire other American generals to start actually saying the same things and revolt. Now, I've heard, like, there was that one lady who's Lieutenant Colonel Kwiatkowski, right,
mm-hmm.
who actually started her own little radio show there. She actually had inside information saying how these Jews and Israelis had so much power and control and authority and were given so much respect in our Pentagon. Okay, they could actually walk in unannounced and have a meeting with a high-ranking general, American Army general, when that was completely against protocol. Everybody who came in there had to be signed in, had to have an appointment, all this stuff, but not these fucking Jews. You know, they could just waltz in there anytime they pleased, in and out. So, but she was saying, well, you know, there's good Jews. She doesn't understand that our problem in Great Britain and in the United States and in every white country everywhere is not just Jews that are in AIPAC, are just Jews that are corrupting the government, are just Jews that are in the media, you know? Our problem is Jews, period. The fact that they're here means they have access to screw us all over. They have free access to screw us over, and they do it all the time, nonstop.
This general, I mean, he came out, and it was funny when it came out. It hit the Daily Mail first. It was a huge article in the Daily Mail. But when he came out, Tony Blair, he went on television the next day, and he basically backed the general. Everything from that point, I believe a slimy little campaign is now being launched to try and undermine the general now by these slimy political hacks.
Yeah, see, Blair is actually caught in the middle too of not only being such a suck ass for the Jews. There's so many fucking Arabs, right, and Pakis and everything else over there in England now that he's got to make them happy too. He tries to please everybody. If he thinks, well, you know, if I say something too derogatory about Arabs or Muslims, then I won't get the Arab or Muslim vote. You know, the Arab and Muslim community over there is not going to be happy with me. So he tries to please everybody. It shows you how a democracy, and especially a multicultural, you know, fucking cesspool, will end up corrupting and destroying the people who actually built that country. Because if you let the people from everywhere in, and these other races come in, and the next thing you know, they outnumber you, like we have with the problem with the Spics here in this country. The candidates are all going to start pandering to them, because what does that mean? There's just votes. They want the votes, you know, and everybody can vote because everybody's equal, which of course is complete bullshit. If you really understand, you know, science and nature and biology and stuff, you know that that's not true. So I've got to make them happy. I can't criticize, you know, the Iraqis or Arabs or Muslims too much. And which is still bullshit. He should criticize all of them. He should say, what the fuck are they doing here?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be in our countries.
I agree. I watched the Jukebox, obviously the news programs, and I see British soldiers, British lads in the south of Iraq being shot and bombed and killed. Now I see them in Afghanistan being shot and bombed and killed. And I'm saying, what the hell are we doing in Iraq? And then I go back to the thing when this whole thing all first started, and Tony Blair being the utter poodle that he is to George Bush, yeah. And obviously the Jews behind both of them pushing our two great nations into this war for Israel. But I'm looking at this thing in Afghanistan, I'm going, what the fuck are we doing in this godforsaken shithole? Defending these cowards who don't want us there. Get out! Get the fuck out!
Yeah, you know, I had a conversation with somebody the other day who said that the reason they don't like Americans over there, it's because we're not Muslims, right? And I'm going, look, you dumbass. Whoever likes anybody occupying their country, right? That has nothing to do with religion. I don't care if anybody was here occupying me. if they were Christians, you think I'd fucking like that? It doesn't matter. It's like they're fucking occupying us. I don't want that. You know, they're telling us what to do. They're telling us where to go. They got machine guns. They got roadblocks set up for us. You know, they tell us, oh, we can't go there. Now, that's what we do when we're occupying their country, you know, and we're controlling their electricity plants. We're controlling their media. That's the way it is over there, and they don't like it. It has nothing to do with fucking being a Muslim.
People should understand the what happened at 9/11 when those towers were attacked by those 19 Muslim individuals. That there was no need for the United States and Great Britain to invade the sovereign nation of Iraq, because, you know, it wasn't Iraq who, you know, funded and supported these 19 Muslim hijackers. If any country that the United States and Great Britain should have invaded, it should have been Saudi Arabia. Because 17 of the 19 were from Saudi Arabia. So
that's right.
Why didn't the United States and Great Britain invade Saudi Arabia?
That's right. If you look at the story of where they came from, you're absolutely right. But at the same time, I would say, they said, well, you know, what is your solution? You know, we got attacked on September 11th. What would you do? And I said, well, it's real easy. Just two words. And, of course, then followed up by action. Bomb Israel, right? Because I swear, if someone said, okay, let's bomb Israel, and then we carried it out with military action, they would fucking love us, man. All the 1.3 billion Muslims in the world, they would fucking love us, man. It would just be, and that would end all of the terrorist attacks everywhere against American citizens.
And you know what? We have a president to bomb Israel. Let's just mention two black op operations, the Levant Affair and the USS Liberty.
Oh, yeah.
Just two reasons why the United States on its own should have bombed Tel Aviv.
Absolutely. I still, on a weekly basis, I'll ask somebody, have you ever heard of the USS Liberty? No! They haven't fucking heard it. How many times has anybody seen in this country a History Channel documentary, you know, something on the USS Liberty? Never. All I see myself on these history channels is bullshit lies about the Germans. Hitler's henchmen, Himmler's death squads, and all this bullshit. First, the title, from the title itself, you know where it's going to go. There's no evidence, you know, provided whatsoever, or everything's taken out of context. It's like Rockwell said, this is what Americans don't get. Like, you brought up the perfect example of the USS Liberty and Levant Affair. It's like Rockwell said,
you have got to let people know the facts of the matter before they can judge correctly. And I maintain that most people who are liberals, and I have found that they are sincere, dedicated and sincere people are liberals, and most of them in the academic community are liberals. The reason is because the facts that they are given leave them no choice. Now, the reason for it, ladies and gentlemen, I maintain, as I've said, is that you are deprived of facts. Your minds work in many ways like a computer. You are not exactly like a computer, but your minds work like a computer in this respect. If you feed into a computer false information, you know you are not going to get good information, good solutions out. If you feed lies into a computer, you're going to get lies and false information out. If you neglect to put information into a computer, you can't get valid answers. Your minds work the same way. If they have some way of keeping from you knowledge which you must know, you cannot make valid decisions.
You've got to have all the information. If you don't have all the information about what happened, if they don't let you know, oh, Israel is not so great after all. Israel is not such a great ally. They bombed us. You know, I mean, they attacked our ship, the USS Liberty. If you don't know about that, you cannot come up with the right conclusion. The wrong conclusion is what our leaders keep coming up with. Whether they know the truth or not is beyond me. Either they're corrupt or they're ignorant, which most Americans are. And so they think, no, the Israelis are a great ally in the Middle East. You know, they're defenders of freedom. They're just like us. They're Western. They're the only democracy in the Middle East. All this bullshit. And they don't know how evil and bad and deceptive Jews are.
Our media, our means of communication, that the good white people, good Aryan people, get from the media are run by people who have their worst interests at heart. The Jews.
Right.
The Jews are the, and we need to repeat this over and over again. This should not get old for everybody. The Jews are the puppet masters of our politicians.
Yeah.
It's only when we have a good white nationalist, national socialist government in all our white lands that these Jews are going to be expelled. So
that's right.
If you get anything from this program, the fact is the number one enemy for the Aryan people was in the 1930s, 1920s, was the Jews. And in the year 2006, guess what? Nothing's changed.
That's right. Nothing's changed. It's the fucking kikes. They're the problem.
Thanks, Lee, for that story. And my second story on Aryan matters is, and we all know about our evil Jew, Sigmund Freud. There's a great article, and I refer everyone to this new news site, natallnews.com. News for white people by white people. It's a good news site. I would urge all our listeners to frequent this site on a regular basis. The title, which was posted on natallnews.com, is called "Inside the Jewish Mind: Jewish Psychologist Blames Anti-Semitism on Toilet Training." I'll read the preamble of the story. Ever since the great Jew psychology fraud of Sigmund Freud, that tribe has specialized in finding ever more bizarre and feces-obsessed reasons for explaining why Gentiles the world over, of all races, dislike Jews. Instead of looking at their own behavior as the single common factor, these Jew psychologists have always tried to blame Gentiles, of course, as if Jews themselves have absolutely nothing to do with it. One of the more prominent proponents of this blame the Gentile theory was the Jew Dr. Mortimer Osto, who tied anti-Semitism to early childhood experiences such as toilet training. Osto is now back in the news, this time for dying recently. If we had some applause in the background, we would put some applause there right now. According to one of his obituaries in the New York Times, Osto led a group of psychologists in a study that claimed to, quote, examine the causes of anti-Semitism, unquote, after allegedly reviewing the case histories of patients, the gaggle of Jews found that, quote, negative feelings towards Jews could be traced to early childhood, unquote. They suggested that troubles in toilet training or an oedipal rivalry in which a son's negative feelings toward his father could be projected onto Jews could be the cause. Osto produced a book on the topic in 1996 called Myth and Madness, The Psychodynamics of Anti-Semitism. We all know what a filthy, horrible Jew Sigmund Freud is, or was, should I say, and his bogus psychology theories, which have basically destroyed weak Gentile minds who fall for this guff. The guy behind him, Mortimer Osto, who said in this evil book, the reason why we're all anti-Semitic, it's because we had bad toilet training. What do you think about that?
That's crazy. I mean, if anybody, anybody that can actually believe that, they have problems themselves. That reminds me of, there was this movie with Bill Murray in it, and he was supposed to be a crazy guy. It was called What About Bob? And he told this joke in there, which sounds exactly like it. I mean, what Sigmund Freud was it seemed like almost everything he wanted to attribute to, psychological problems to, or what he termed psychological problems, maybe they really weren't, which, of course, anti-Semitism is not a psychological problem. But everything he wanted to associate with sex, something to do with sex, defecation or something like that. He wanted to associate with that. So in that movie, What About Bob, there's a joke that Bill Murray's character tells. He says he's in the office, in the psychiatrist's office, and he's showing him all these ink blots, right? And he says, what do you think? Every one of these pictures, I want you to tell me the first thing you think, right? And he goes, here's a picture, sex. And the guy says, sex, right? Here's another picture. The guy says, sex. Here's another picture. The guy says, sex. And he goes, and he stops, and the psychiatrist goes, you're obsessed with sex. And he goes, well, you're the one with all the dirty pictures, right? Which, again, that kind of thing is the way that the kind of mental absurdity of it all is the way that Jews actually think. I mean, they really believe that we're the ones with the problem. And we're not talking about just white people. They're talking about everybody. They're talking about, you know, the Muslims, the Palestinians, the Arabs, the Iraqis, the Afghanistanis. Everybody, you know, the Russians originally, right? The Czars. They're saying everybody except them has the problem, right? Which that on itself is crazy. I mean, just that, you say, well, there's something wrong with those people. If they never stop to think and to reflect and say, well, are we doing anything wrong or are we doing something wrong? There's been a couple of Jews, you know, several Jews over the years who have written books and talked about it and said, you know, we are the problem, you know, like I believe it was Israel Shahak, right, that wrote his book, and Samuel Roth wrote his book, and Benjamin Friedman, you know, these guys saying, look, you Jews better stop and think about what you're doing because you're pissing everybody off. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, right, big time what they said because they gave details. They gave specific details about things and saying, Jews do this, Jews do that. Let's stop and think about this because we're pissing everybody off. And, I mean, that's what causes anti-Semitism, right? You should put that word in quotes because it doesn't mean what they say it means, right? Anti-Semitism, to them, their definition is it means to be anti-Jewish, right, or anti-Israel. That, again, is only a reaction to Jewish behavior, right? People don't grow up, and of course, how could you relate potty training, right? When you know nothing about fucking Jews, when you're a little kid there taking a dump, you know nothing about Jews at all, you know, and all of a sudden you're supposed to say, well, when you get older, it's like, well, I got screwed up my potty training, so I'm seeing these Jews here and they're different, so, you know, that's what I'm going to blame it on. I'm going to, you know, I have a problem with them because I screwed up when I was a kid and I knew nothing about Jews. It's completely illogical, irrational, and that's the way they work. The problem is with us is that since they have such control of our media and our education system, they can tell us this stuff, and if they say it enough, people will buy it, right? People believe it. I mean, the majority of people will. Not the thinking few people, rational people, the scientists, the people with high IQs, you know, they will not buy it all, but then they can't control everything. It's like I heard somebody say once, okay, if they're lying about history, if they're lying about the Russian Revolution and all this stuff, have you ever seen a strike by historians, right? How many historians are they going to be? You know, there's going to be 5 or 6 historians walking out there, you know, holding up little picket signs saying, you know, they're lying about the Russian Revolution or whatever. Who's going to pay attention to them? When you have this fucking, you know, Jew that owns a television station that's broadcasting to hundreds of thousands of people, you can't make a dent in that kind of propaganda or, you know, message. You can't. You can't fight that message unless you have the equal time, which is, of course, you know, going back to what the point of this broadcast is and the other broadcasts are, VNN and everybody who wants to spread or increase white media, is you have to be able to fight them, you know, fight fire with fire, and yell as loudly as they are, right? Because otherwise, we're yelling, you know, and we're like a little 6-inch, 12-inch tall guy in the back of a theater full of people that are normal size, yelling, hey, you know, these Jews are in bad trouble. They're trouble. They're problems. They're causing all this. Who the hell is going to notice us or listen to us? Nobody. You've got to have that media that can counteract the Jewish power.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And the founder of this evil psychoanalysis of the Jew, Sigmund Freud, who, if I would ask everyone to go and look on the World Wide Web on Sigmund Freud and do some research on this evil Jew. Sigmund Freud, cocaine fiend, had sex with family members. This individual now holds sway in this bizarre psychoanalysis field where silly Hollywood stars have to go and lie down on the couch and spill their beans about toilet training, no doubt. You can just imagine Brad Pitt lying down, you know, after he's had a hard night with Angelina Jolie, and he's lying down on the go to a psychoanalysis, and he's lying down on the couch and he's talking to this filthy Jew, and you know, he's saying, "Well, Angelina's not doing this for me, and she's not doing that for me. And I've got issues with. I believe, you know, there's something going on, and you know, blah blah blah. I think Mel Gibson could be right in certain issues." You can just imagine. The psychoanalysis Jew who Brad Pitt is talking to saying, "Well, Mr. Pitt, at one point in your life, did you have any issues with toilet training? If you do, you could be a borderline anti-Semite. You need to reflect." you can just imagine it, you know. But I would urge people to do the research on Sigmund Freud and see what a filthy, evil Jew this person was.
Yeah. And if I was Brad Pitt, I'd get up right then and I'd take a crap on his desk. You know, that's
right. Yo.
That's his absolute. I mean, it's insane that anybody would buy the majority of his stuff. Now, some of his stuff, you know, was based on fact, and of course, it is his original idea. No, you know, he got it from other, you know, people in the past. So yeah. he mixed a little truth in there, but then he creates this whole, you know, lying thing about the ego and sexual libido and all this stuff, which is really all false. And of course, what happens is people believe it and go down the wrong path. He ends up steering them the wrong way, and they buy this shit. Who can possibly believe that a kid who had nothing, had never heard of Jews at all, you know, and his potty training, what the fuck does that have to do with when they grow up to be an adult, you know, and they find out that the Jews bombed the USS Liberty, you know, yeah. And then they have a problem with Jews, and it's like, well, it's because you potty train. What the fuck does that got to do with anything?
Just read about this evil, filthy Jew, Sigmund Freud. You know, he was a cocaine fiend, as I said before. He had sex with family members. He's obsessed with bodily functions, going to the toilet and urination as part of his sexual excitement. And it just goes on and on and on. What a filthy, what a real, do the research and you'll come, just like James Hawthorne is with Sigmund Freud and this bizarre psychoanalysis. It's a sickly, filthy Jewish nonsense, which it should be. It's now part of the medical, you know, field. It should be. If we ever do have a national socialist government in all our white lands, this is the one medical theory that needs to be struck off, and struck off real quickly. And your second story, Lee.
And my second story is from Yahoo News, and the title is Web
Yahoo News, did you say?
Yeah. Yahoo News. Yeah. And the title is that the web could be terror training camp, according to Chertoff. Right? So, who is Michael Chertoff? In the United States, he's the director of Homeland Security. Again, that title right there everybody should be scared of, because they're saying, well, what is this? Is this Big Brother? Is this communism? You know, is this the Soviet Union? Why would we have something like this? But, of course, most Americans are happy and patriotic and, he's on our side. He's going to save us from the evil terrorists, you know, bullshit like that. And, of course, what he is, as this article will demonstrate, or at least it should demonstrate, is he's just another fucking control freak kike. That's all he is. Okay, let me just read you a few of the lines from this Yahoo link.
That's a CFK, control freak kike.
Thank you, James. Let me just read you a few lines from this. It says, disaffected people living in the U.S. may develop radical ideologies and potentially violent skills over the internet that could present the next major U.S. security threat. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff said on Monday. Here's a quote from him. It says, we now have a capability of someone to radicalize themselves over the internet. You know? And what he's saying is, okay, think about that. What does that mean? To radicalize somebody. What he's saying is that somebody will learn something on the internet that will get them so pissed off that they'll do something radical, which really what he's afraid of is, because he's a Jew, he's afraid they'll be pissed off at Jews and do something radical against Jews, right? That's what he's saying. I mean, you gotta understand Jews to know where they're coming from, okay? When they say radical or extremists, right, or right wingers, you know, anti-Semitic or fascists or Nazis or whatever, what they're saying is somebody who threatens them. That's all it means. It doesn't really mean that person, whether they're radical or not, is a threat to other white American, you know, citizens. That's not what that means at all. What it really means is it's a threat to the status ququo, the way things are, or the way things are going, which is the way things Jews want them to go. So if you're against that, you're against Jews. So that's why you're a threat. One other line in this article a little later on is, Chertoff pointed to the July 7, 2005 attacks on London's transit system, which killed 56 people, as an example of a homegrown threat. Okay? Now, again, let's think about this. Let's analyze this. So when these attacks in London happened, who perpetrated them? Well, yeah, it was a couple of these Arabs, you know, that had grown up, and Muslims that had grown up in London. Okay? They had grown up there. Well, does that mean that the internet, first off, does that mean that the internet actually radicalized them to make them do that? No. Doesn't necessarily mean that. They could have been taught by some local people there how screwed up the UK is for, you know, for invading Iraq and everything else. They could have been taught that by some local people there. It has nothing to do with the internet. But the second thing is, or the most important thing is really, is what the fuck are they doing in England or London in the first place? Right? Exactly. That's the real threat. They could not be a threat if they weren't in white countries. Anybody who says that's not the case is a fucking idiot. Just like if we were all talking about on VNN, they bring this up a lot, which is good, and I've seen other places that bring this up a lot, is all the black on white crime. And now we're having a lot of this brought up, which is on the fucking news every day here in the States. Jesus Gonzalez raping somebody, you know, and they got some guy, Raul, you know, Garcia up for murder and kidnapping charges and all this shit. You've got these spics doing it now, just like the niggers. We could clean out and reduce all of these crimes, which are violent crimes, not just the shit like thefts and robberies and stuff like that. We're talking violent crimes, and most of these are perpetrated against white people, if these niggers and these spics were not here. Anybody who says that is not true has got a fucking clue of reality. They're living in a dream world. The television shows your reality. There's TV shows, reality TV shows, which one has been on for years called Cops. That show there, if you watch it and if you keep in the back of your mind, how many of the crooks that you see there robbing cars, doing violent drive-by shootings and all this stuff, and just plain stupid, violent shit, you'd say the majority of them are niggers. And then they say, well, if there weren't so many niggers here, that wouldn't mean crimes. You've got to make that connection. And then you say, well, why is that? Well, it's not because of education. It's not because of the bullshit conservative lies about, well, everybody needs to be educated. Well, actually, it's not just the conservatives that say that. It's Democrats, too. They think the same thing. They think that if you educate blacks enough, they'll be just like white people, which is complete bullshit. That's like saying if I put enough Miracle-Gro on this tulip here, it's going to turn into a rose. You can't do that. They're biologically different, and they will not never be the same. And it's the same exact thing here when you go back to this Chertoff, and he wants to propose a solution. Oh, well, what do you think Chertoff's solution is going to be for all these threats of these people being radicalized by the Internet? Well, his solution is going to be that we have to find out who these people are that go to websites like VNN or anything else that, again, that opposes a threat to the Jews, and then they're going to come after us and put us in jail, put us on trial. That's what his solution is going to be. Of course, and that's no solution at all. That is really their way of actually taking care of us, stopping a threat to them. That's all it is. There is no justice in it of them saying that, yeah, we are radicalized, or people like us that learn the truth on the Internet are haters or evil or Nazis or are going to cause a danger to the rest of our own people, which is basically our own white people, that we're a threat to them. We're not a threat to them. We're only a threat to the Jews. Of course, he doesn't make it out like that, and the majority of people won't know any better, and they'll believe it. Just like they'll believe that the problem with the Spics and the niggers causing all the crime is because they're not educated enough, when it has nothing to do with that. Don't be fooled by these bullshit lie fraud stories by these people that have an agenda. Either they have an agenda or they're ignorant. It's one of the two. Either they're liars and they're deceiving you and they're trying to do something bad, or they're truly ignorant, like a lot of fucking stupid liberal communists, and even, you know, now and nowadays you can say even the Republican conservatives, that black man is, you know, he just had a bad life, he's poor, or he's uneducated, lives in a bad part of town, or whatever. That's bullshit. That's the problem. The problem is, if you throw these books in front of them, they can't comprehend it. It's like, I had a teacher once say, a student once told this teacher that I had once, he said, "You're not teaching me right." And the teacher later on came back with an answer and said, "Well, you know, I could go out and preach to this tree all day long, and the tree could tell me I'm not teaching it right either." And the point is that the tree can't comprehend anything that he's trying to teach, just like a lot of the students can't comprehend anything either, just because they're not smart enough.
I wouldn't trust Michael Chertoff with a Halloween toffee apple on his own. This man is head, and I use the word there, man, very, very loosely. Let me change that word for man. This Jew, this sickly evil Jew who looks like some skull, some Jewish skull who just got dug up from some Hebrew graveyard. I wouldn't trust him as far as we say in Great Britain. I wouldn't trust him as far as we can throw him. Yet this Jew is in charge of the great United States so-called homeland security. It's like putting the fox in with the chickens.
Yeah.
And just leaving him there the whole night. He's going to go crazy and kill these chickens. This is what this Chertoff's doing. He sees two threats. Sees the Muslim threat, anti-Jewish. He sees the white nationalist threat, anti-Jewish. Guess who he's coming after? The Muslims and the white nationalists.
Right.
It goes back to the old thing, as we see here on Area Matters, PBT. Planes, boats, and trains. No matter what it costs, it doesn't matter, because the overall aim is harmony and a white future for all our people in all our lands. So we've got to take control of our nations again. We've got to have, to use a great phrase I heard when those Muslims attacked the Twin Towers, we've got to have the testicular fortitude to fight back as a group of people, as a white Aryan group of people. We've got to fight back. We've got to stand up. We've got to fight for our lands, because if we're not prepared to fight for our lands, Jews like Chertoff, who were in control of so-called homeland security, and in Great Britain too, and in Europe and Australia and New Zealand, we are going to get walked over and we are going to get killed.
That's right.
We've got to get some backbone, people. White people have got to wake up, as we keep saying on this program. Got to wake up. We've got to fight back, because if we don't, no one is going to fight back with us. We've got to energize.
That's right.
What these programs are all about is to energize people and hopefully wake them up.
That's right. Who is looking out for white people? If nobody's looking out for white people, well, what's going to happen? White people are going to be destroyed. They're going to go extinct. They're not going to survive. Everybody can look. The Jews can look out for themselves. Blacks can have their organizations looking out for black interests. The Spics are really taking over now and looking out for their interests. But who fights for white people?
Yeah, in the United States, the Spics have their own interest groups, large and powerful interest groups now. Blacks have their large and powerful interest groups. Jews have their large and powerful interest groups. And over in Europe, Muslims now are starting to have powerful, large interest groups. What about frickin' interest groups for white Aryan people for a change?
You can't have them. You can't have them. If you do...
That's racist.
It's racist. It's hate. It's anti-Semitic. It's all this bullshit. I mean, those are just words. We're talking about living human people who are being destroyed, and all these words are just like that old saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. No one buys that. They are so afraid. They're brought up, all of us who are brought up in the educational system, which again is brainwashing programming, to think that, oh, whites should be guilty. They did all this horrible stuff. They did all the slavery. They did all the Holocaust and all this bullshit, so we can never let ourselves go there again.
Oh, the Holocaust, yeah. For God's sake.
That's the grip they have on us. That's what's binding us to each other and to chairs and to keep us from moving. They've got us in a grip. It's a demonic grip that we can't move out of because we're afraid to. We don't want to be that evil person that they say we were again. So we're afraid to react to them, to Jews and Spics and niggers and Arabs in our countries, because we think we'll be becoming that evil person that they created. It's all a myth. It's all an image that they created to scare us into not acting against them. The Jews first created it for us not to act against them, but it also developed into not acting out against anybody who's not white, right? So it's against blacks, against Spics, against Arabs, whatever. And so now we just don't react against anybody. That's why we're less than 10% of the world's population now and dying and, you know, dying out. We've got to break grip.
The grip, yeah, and it goes to the media, as I keep calling it, the Jewish media, because that's what it is. It's the Jewish media in control of our means of communication, who basically is what Aryan white people get their news and comment from, for want of a better word, that they get the information from the Jewish media. And they're saying that for white Aryan people to stand up for their heritage and their culture and their civilization is racist, evil, it's Nazi, it's anti-Semitic, it's a no-no. Go back in your playpen, Aryan people. You're not allowed to play the game that us Jews are playing, that we're, you know, taking over and we're letting the niggers and the Spics and the Muslims run rampant in your lands. But you stay in that playpen and we'll keep you there until the days are over for you. And if we need to, again, the reason for these programs is to get people, our people, white Aryan people, to say, no. You can call me a racist. That may be the evil word of the moment, calling me a racist. But you know what? I'm standing in front of you, Jew, as a proud racialist, and I'm taking you on right now.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, really, it's got to come to that point where people, you know, Mel Gibson and whoever the hell else, everybody who is an honorable, you know, white man or woman has got to say, I don't care what names you call me, anti-Semitic, racist, hater, Nazi, I don't care what you call me. I don't like what you're doing, and I'm going to put a stop to it, and I'm going to fix this fucking mess. When it comes to that, that's when we'll be winning. When it comes to that point where more people are speaking out, I mean, there's here and there once in a while you hear these grumbles of people, you know, coming out and saying things. DeWalt, and Mearsheimer, you know, paper about the Jewish lobby in the States and all that stuff. Okay, they're in prestigious positions, and they've come out saying, you know, something bad against Israel. Okay, good. They came over that fear factor, and I don't know if they've still stuck with it, but that's what we need people to start doing more and more of, and then it'll be like a wildfire. It'll spread, and people say, you know what, fuck it. I don't care what you say, especially in the States here. I don't want all these spics here. And over there in the UK, you know, what would you guys say? You know, we don't want all these.
Well, we don't want these Muslims, Pakis, and Bangladeshis. Get them on the planes, boats, and trains, and get them back to their homelands where they truly belong, because they don't belong in the United Kingdom.
Absolutely.
They truly don't belong.
Right. It's like, it's our country. It was our country, our people's country, our ancestors' country. Why the hell are we just giving it up? And again, we know why we're giving it up, because that's what the Jews want us to do. They want to create one borderless world, international, globalist plantation of just a mixture of people doing whatever the Jews say is the right thing to do. And of course, most of us will follow them. The masses of people will follow them, because they're in control of what we hear. I mean, that's what's so important, is this whole media thing when we bring up stuff, you know, telling everybody about the USS Liberty, the Levant affair, about the, you know, the kikes behind the Russian Revolution, behind communism, and that the fact that all the stuff about equality is a lie, and it was created by the Jew Karl Marx, or that frauds like, you know, Sigmund Freud spread these lies and bullshit stories, which a lot of Americans believe. We gotta tell people that, because you're not gonna hear it anywhere else. Or guess what? The biggest thing of all is that the Nazis were the good guys. That's the biggest thing of all, that the Nazis were telling the truth, that the Nazis were fighting on the right side, they were fighting for the truth, and that America fucked up, our leaders fucked up on purpose, British fucked up fighting against the Nazis. If we say, look, if the Nazis were the ones that were standing for white people, and we're telling everybody out there now that no one can or wants to stand for white people today, then you ought to say, why don't we all be Nazis then? If the Nazis stood for white people, then, hey, we should all be Nazis. And if they call us Nazis, then fuck them, because we love our people, and we want our people to survive. That's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to kill the rest of the people who aren't white. We're just trying to save our people and actually save a lot of the other non-whites' lives, because we do what the Jews want. And we go to fight countries on the Arabs and the Muslims because the Jews want us to. And we would put a stop to that. Nazi National Socialists, white nationalists, people in charge would put a stop to all of these wars and things against people that the Jews want us to fight.
If you have any questions, you can email us at askaneonazi@yahoo.com. We appreciate all your comments. We will try to answer as many as we can. If not directly, we'll answer questions on the next upcoming Area Masses program. Again, I would like to thank Lee Gardner for his great appearance on Area Masses. My name is James Hawthorne, and we will both see you next time.
See you next time.